From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series of messages on the law of God. Most recently, he has been treating each of the Ten Commandments in individual messages. Today, he comes to the ninth commandment, Thou shalt not bear false witness. As has been the case with all of the commandments considered so far, the prohibition here is very far-reaching in its application. The focus here is upon the tongue, a small member of the body that has the potential for immense good or for a vast amount of evil. The heart of this commandment is the preservation and promotion of truth. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, here's a brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional collection entitled Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled God Will Answer. The text is found in Psalm 145 and verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. His own Spirit has wrought this desire in us, and therefore He will answer it. It is His own life within which prompts the cry, and therefore He will hear it. Those who fear Him are men under the holiest influence, and therefore their desire is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Like Daniel, they are men of desires, and the Lord will cause them to realize their aspirations. Holy desires are grace in the blade, and the heavenly husbandman will cultivate them till they come to the full corn in the ear. God-fearing men desire to be holy, to be useful, to be a blessing to others, and so to honor their Lord. They desire supplies for their need, help under burdens, guidance in perplexity, deliverance in distress. And sometimes this desire is so strong and their case so pressing that they cry out in agony like little children in pain. And then the Lord works most comprehensively and does all that is needful according to this word and will save them. Yes, if we fear God, we have nothing else to fear. If we cry to the Lord, our salvation is certain. Let the listener lay this text on his tongue and keep it in his mouth all the day, and it will be to him as a wafer made with honey.
For above thine own
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
we continue in our study of the law of God, and we come to the ninth of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The tongue has incalculable power both for good and for evil. Its potential for good is immense. James said, therewith bless we God. And to what nobler use could the tongue of man ever be put than to the praise of our God, our Creator, and our Redeemer? In all of Holy Scripture, I know of no more exhilarating scene than that which is described in the book of the Revelation, when the myriads of the redeemed surround the throne of God and of the Lamb, and they sing praises unto Him who loosed them, washed them, redeemed them, and brought them to glory. What an immense potential for good there is in the human tongue. But its potential for evil is enormous. James went on to say in the very next breath, therewith curse we men who are made after the similitude of God. It's significant to me that of 10 commandments in which he summarized the moral duty of man, God made reference to our use of the tongue in two. You remember that the third commandment said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That is emphasizing the use of our tongue, and especially in the things of God, how we direct the use of our tongue toward God. Now in the ninth commandment, we are told, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And here, obviously, the commandment is dealing with how we employ our tongues, not so much directly to God, though that will come into the picture, but mainly how we direct it toward men. And of course, I think it would be true to say, and this is true right throughout the commandments, that he who seeks to keep the commandment in the first table of the law will be best equipped to keep it in the second table of the law. That the one who is careful to use his tongue right unto God will be least likely to use it ill toward men. Now, as with all the commandments in the ten, the simple prohibition of this ninth commandment extends to a great number of sins. I would advise you once more to have a look at the larger catechism's exposition of the ninth commandment. And you will be amazed. I think they take something like 30 lines, almost every word of which, and certainly every phrase of which, has a biblical text by way of reference and proof. They take almost 30 lines to tell you what is included in this single line, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Among other things, this calls for the preservation and the promotion of truth. And it pays very particular attention to our neighbor's good name. Why that seems very old-fashioned in this self-serving day in which we live, it can never be out of date for a Christian that the good name and the reputation of our neighbor is not something of small importance to us. It is something we are commanded, as much as in us lies, to preserve, to protect, and to promote. There is in this the whole idea of standing for the truth. The prophet uses that wonderful little expression, valiant for the truth. Seems to me sad that he had to use it as a negative. They were not valiant for the truth. But I think we could well take that for us as a summary of our duties under the ninth commandment. This is the call of God, that we be valiant for the truth. As a commandment, it denounces clearly false evidence. It denounces calling evil good and good evil, slandering, lying, backbiting, detracting from another person's reputation or deeds, tale-bearing, scoffing, reviling, deliberately twisting words, misconstruing acts or intentions, flattering, vainglorious boasting, denying the gifts of God either in another or in yourself, many such things, all included in the simple statement, the command, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Tonight I want us to look at this commandment. I've thought long and hard about it. I've had to, because the more I looked at it, the more I realized this single commandment is an exposition of much of Scripture. And to bring it all within the compass even of a long message is difficult. And when you're so short-winded as I am, it is even more difficult. So let me sum it up in a single, simple statement. That the ninth commandment obliges us to be faithful witnesses and to use our tongue for the good and not for the hurt of our neighbor. The ninth commandment obliges us to be faithful witnesses and to use our tongue for the good and not for the hurt of our neighbor. Now, the first point is very obvious, that this commandment condemns a very widespread sin. And I should say that it condemns it in all its aspects. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, underline the words very carefully. I'm going to start where you, I think, will not expect me to start. Most people take it that the ninth commandment simply says, thou shalt not lie. And they take it immediately in a very particular personal direction. We'll get there ultimately. But it says deliberately, thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, this commandment was given and stated in a legal setting. And the most fundamental force of the ninth commandment is a divine safeguard of the integrity of Israel's legal system. And what it's saying is that in all matters that come before a court of law, the witnesses must tell the truth. In expounding this in Exodus 23, verse 7, the scriptures say, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. In the Old Testament's legal framework, witnesses had a very vital role. It lay with witnesses to establish guilt or innocence. And literally, the power of life and death was in the hands of witnesses. The scriptures are very clear on this in Deuteronomy 17 and 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Again in chapter 19 and verse 15 of Deuteronomy. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So it's very clear that the work of the witness was of very grave importance to the system that God set up in Israel. However, looking at this humanly, you can immediately see that the potential for abuse of a witness system was very great. And so therefore, the Lord, right from the beginning, acknowledged the devastating effects of false or lying witnesses. You remember that in the book of Proverbs 25 and 18, we are told that a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul. It's an old-fashioned word that means a war club. He's a war club and a sword and a sharp arrow. Now, those are all weapons of war. And the Lord says that the false witness, using his wicked words, is actually employing these vicious weapons of war for the destruction of an innocent person. You may remember that Jezebel employed them against Naboth when, in Ahab's name, she sent to the elders and the judges of Naboth's hometown. You'll read of it in 1 Kings 21, verses 8 through 12. And she had them suborn some witnesses to gather some liars who stood up. And before the assembled court, they said of Naboth, "You have blasphemed God and the king." They put him to death just so that Jezebel and her husband could steal his property. You remember that the priests of Israel used these weapons against the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, 59 and 60 tells us how they sought for false witnesses. We read the same thing concerning Stephen in Acts chapter 6, that the priests sought for false witnesses who came and said that Stephen had spoken blasphemous words against the holy place of God's house. So, false witness was a very, very grave danger. And that's why under the law, God did or made Israel do everything possible to ensure the integrity and the honesty of witnesses. For example, witnesses in a capital case had to be the first in executing the judgment that their witness called for. Deuteronomy 17, verse 7, "The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, so shalt thou put away evil from among you." Now, there are many people who could lie without much conscience, but it's a different thing when, to prove the honesty of your accusation, you've got to go out before God and man, and you take the instrument of death in your own hand. It is not an anonymous executioner that puts this man to death. It is your hand that's first upon him. That was one safeguard God built into the system. Then there was another, a very powerful one. You'll read of it in Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 to 19. That false witnesses were exposed to the very punishment that they sought to bring on an innocent party by their lying witness. This is what the Lord says in verse 18 and 19. "If the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done to his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you." So the witnesses were to be honest.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.